Christmas version 1.0, the series that we've been sharing about, and just a little bit of a play on like a computer program. You give the number of the version that you are sharing or that is going to be distributed for the program to fulfill its purpose. And we know that in Christmas version 1.0, God was the designer of the program, and the purpose of the program was for the salvation of every man and woman that would ever live on this earth. His program was perfectly designed. However, there were some situations where those who were the technical crew, the technical team, the technical support team of that version 1.0 had to have their perspective adjusted regarding how this program would work. We remember that Zechariah had a little bit of an issue with his barren wife being able to bear a child. And so the angel said, "You're going to be quiet for a while." And his perspective got adjusted. When it came to Mary receiving the conception, the immaculate conception, this tremendous miracle, she didn't know how it could happen. She didn't know how she could be impregnated because she had never been with a man. And so the angel Gabriel explained to her, this is going to be from God, and this will be the Son of God. Joseph was ready to put his wife away quietly. He loved her, not his wife, his espoused wife, to put her away quietly. But the angel of God had to interrupt his perspective and say, this is from God. Take Mary as your wife. And so we see throughout this experience of God sending his son, there was a perfect program for his son to come, for his son to be holy, to be born not with the nature of sin, as any other human being would have been born naturally into this world. To be born without sin was necessary for Jesus to be able to pay the price for man's sin. And so God's perfect program was presented at just the right time. The distribution of this program happened at just the right time so it would be able to affect the whole world. And so from that we have seen the experience of those that were a part of that first Christmas, Christmas 1.0. And as we consider this, I want you to remember that there is a second version coming out, not Christmas 2.0, but Advent 2.0. Jesus is coming again. And so many of the same things that were expressed and the anticipation that was expressed before his first coming, we ought to consider those things as we anticipate version 2.0 or Advent 2.0. So anyway, today we're going to be talking about the first responders. And the reason why I've called them first responders is not because they came to the aid like we consider first responders, but these were those that were, it was first described to or first revealed that this Christ child, this Messiah, this new King of Israel was born, and they were the ones to respond to that. So we're going to look at the shepherds, we're going to look at the prophets, and we're going to look at the wise men and those that responded first to Christmas version 1.0. Let's start with the shepherds. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 20, I'll share a few things as we go through breaking up that passage, but Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, I would encourage you to do that, or your device that has the Bible on it. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." So here we see the angel of the Lord announcing this program is here. Good news of great joy to all people. Everyone say, good news.
Good news.
Remember, that's the message that the angel gave, that the angel announced, and it was for all people. Continue on with verse 11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord. Notice how it gives all three of those defining descriptions of this baby child Jesus. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. So here we see Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, as being born, and there's a sign that was given to those that were shepherds that were, this message was being revealed to them. They would be able to tell who this is. What newborn child are you going to find in a manger? That doesn't happen very often, does it? Last week we understood why. There wasn't any room for them where they wanted to go and to dwell, and so room was made for them in the stall, in the manger, and so that's where Mary laid her child. And that was a sign to the shepherds as well. Continuing on with verse 13. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So the shepherds go, the angels of the shepherd. Okay, put your thoughts together with your words here, Roger. The angel choir began to declare that they would see this baby and that. I must need to sit down or something. Okay, I'm okay now. The angel host was joined with a chorus, and they declared this, "Peace on earth to those who please God." And so then again, the shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And it says then in verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What I want you to see in this is, first of all, it says that the shepherds told everyone. So these were, you know, what you would just consider common folk. They were out there in the hills giving watch to their flocks by night. And we see that the angel reveals this tremendous message of great joy, this good news of great joy to these common folk. They go and they see all that the angel had declared. And then they begin sharing that with other people. So in essence, these common folk shepherds became some of the first evangelists to declare this child who was born, this child in a manger, and the news that was declared through the angel that this was a child that was going to bring peace on earth to all who please God. This child was good news. The message was good news. But then notice this also. It says the shepherds went back to work. Now that, you know, is kind of uncommon for some people who would have some kind of revelation like that. You would think, you know, it's time for us to quit our jobs. We're going to start writing books on We See Angels. You know, we have a new revelation, you know, and start marketing these books and start, you know, going out on the circuit. And that's kind of what happens in our day when someone receives, you know, a special revelation or something like that, or say they have. But the point of this is that they were common folks and they continued in their common work. But they were used by God. They'd been given a special revelation of the Lord. And they were continually used by God as they went and declared all these things that they had seen. But it also speaks about Mary, how when they described what had happened, the angels that had appeared to them and the message that was given to them, it says that Mary pondered, or Mary treasured these things in her heart. She was accumulating all of these special revelations that were given to her, first of all by the angel Gabriel about who this child was and that this child was conceived in a miraculous way. And then now here these shepherds that are given this divine revelation by angels about what this child would be and how special this was, how special this child was. And she, again, as it says here, treasured these things in her heart. Well, then let's go and visit the prophets. Who are the prophets? Well, in Luke chapter 2, continuing on, verse 21 says this, 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or of two young pigeons. So what they're doing is they're having a baby dedication. We do that as well. But their dedication happened at the time of his circumcision. It was 8 days after his birth. And it says that they went to Jerusalem. Now remember last week we saw the journey that they had taken. They had gone from Nazareth and they had journeyed down to Bethlehem because they had to go sign up for the census that was being taken in each person's hometown. And so that was the reason for their journey to Bethlehem. Jerusalem's not very far from Bethlehem, so they didn't have to travel very far to go to Jerusalem to go to the temple and for this baby dedication and the circumcision of Jesus. So what happens while they're there is a gentleman by the name of Simeon, who is a prophet. We'll look in starting with verse 25, and we'll see what took place there. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, notice what's happening here. This gentleman, he is waiting for Messiah. He knows the Messiah is promised. He's waiting for Messiah to come. He's led by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He's led by the Spirit to go to the temple that day. Messiah is going to be there. Now, if you would have come into, you know, a situation in the temple, no doubt there were baby boys that were being born all the time. They were being brought. They were being dedicated. They were being circumcised. This was all part of their their religious expression. But Simeon is led by the Spirit to the temple that day, and obviously God reveals that's the one. And Simeon knows it. He understands it. He is led by the Spirit to the temple on that day, and he begins to speak and declare the word of the Lord. In verse 28, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal to the nations, the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Goes on to say in verse 33, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. But he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. So again, as Simeon is declaring this prophetically over this child, this Messiah, he's declaring these things, and he's saying he's destined to cause the hearts of many in Israel to fall. He's going to be opposed by many. Many will oppose him, and yet he's going to bring joy to many others. These are the words that are declared over this Christ child. But he also speaks to Mary personally, and he says, you know what, there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce your heart. And we understand Mary's experience through the life of Jesus and through his death upon the cross and her being present at his death. What a difficult thing it must have been to know she brought this child into the world for this purpose, and that he was going to have to bear the sin of all mankind, and he was going to have to experience this humiliating death upon the cross as a criminal, though he was innocent himself, and how it must have pierced her heart to see him go through that and to know that this was her child that was experiencing this. We see another prophet or a prophetess, Anna, that's in the temple at the same time. In verses 36 through 38, it says, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there. Excuse me. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So here's a woman absolutely dedicated to the Lord. She lost her husband after 7 years of marriage. The rest of her life, she lived in the temple. Again, a prophet or prophetess. She understood, she expected the Lord. And when she saw that child, she began praising God. When she saw the interaction with Simeon, with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, she began praising God, and says also that she talked to everyone expectant for God to rescue Jerusalem. So there was a bunch of people that were expectant. They knew what God's word said. These were prophetic people who understood and could perceive, were led by the Spirit of God, could perceive this child is the Messiah that has been declared to come and to rescue Israel. And not only rescue Israel, but bring joy, bring peace on earth to all men who please God, as again was described to the shepherds. So then let's consider the wise men. I'll have you turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 16. Again, some of the first responders, although this was a season after the birth of the child, the wise men who arrive from the east and they arrive in Jerusalem. Matthew 2, starting with verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Let's talk about the wise men for a little bit. The word that is used there describing the wise men is the Greek word magos. And it's also a magian, or an oriental scientist. I'm just giving you the description from the Greek dictionary. By implication, a magician or a sorcerer. Sorcerer or wise man are the way this Greek word is translated into English in the Bible. Now, a couple of things concerning this. First of all, we know that they weren't sorcerers, as in darkness, sorcery, that kind of thing, obviously because they were searching after this king. They were searching after this newborn that was the Messiah sent from God. Now, I have a couple of questions. Well, first of all, just regarding the way that we say this, you know, we talk about the Magi at Christmas time. We often call them the Magi, and that comes from this word. Now, I have to just share this. Helen, when you spoke that word when we met together the other day, you used a very different word than what I was used to, and it took me a little bit of a while to figure out what you were saying, but you said the word magi, right? Am I right? I'm going, magi, magi. And there I go, okay, that's probably our English, where we turn everything around and say things different, because remember, the pronunciation of this Greek word is magos. So you can understand why magi instead of magi would be the way of saying it. So I don't know if we need to correct our English or what, but we use the word magician, which also comes from this word. Exactly what the wise men were, we're not exactly certain. There's certain ideas and thoughts and things that we bring into our Christmas tradition as a result of this word, but exactly what they were, we know for sure that they were wise men. They were able to perceive and understand the things that were happening in the heavens and pursue after this king of Israel. Now, how many wise men were there? More than one is all we know. We go three because of the three gifts. Traditionally, we sing about three wise men. In fact, we didn't sing wise men this morning. We sang three kings. Were these kings? We don't know, really, do we? One of the Christian traditions that's been handed down, this perspective about them being kings. I mean, we sing that we three kings of Orient, right? We sing that song, but It's likely that that was added, the perspective of the possibility of them being kings, from Psalm 72:11 that says, "May all kings fall down before him." I guess, you know, when it comes to this, I just like the phrase, wise men still seek him. You know, people who are wise are going to seek him, whether they were kings, whether they were what we would call magicians or of that kind of thing. We don't know exactly. But here's what I want to say in this is, be careful and not make traditions doctrine. You know, don't go and argue with someone that, well, there were three of them. I know because we sing that song. They were kings. We three kings. We know that there were three of them. We don't know that there were three of them. It's a tradition. And again, don't make doctrine out of Christian traditions that are handed down. Just like, you know, the tradition that Jesus never cried. I mean, we sing that, right? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Probably not very realistic. Sounds nice in a song. Also, when we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, we say, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Have you, any of you ever been to a birth of a child? You were there. And it's not silent either with mama or baby when baby comes. They come squalling out. There's no silently, the gift is given. So nostalgic kind of, you know, traditional things that we sing, it makes it really, it romanticizes the event and that kind of thing. It perfects the child who was born, but he was born a child like the rest of us. And so he squalled and bawled just like, you know, messed his pants, all that kind of stuff. You know, we don't need to idolize and, you know, make it what it's not. But here when the wise men come to Jerusalem, they approach Herod and they're asking about where this child is born. They speak regarding the star. We have seen his star. So let's talk about the star for just a little bit. Much study has gone into exactly what the star was. Was it an alignment of the planets? Was it a comet? Was it some just heavenly, divinely expressed manifestation of God that, you know, can be understood no other way? It's not my point to bring the detail of all of that into this message. Let it be suffice to say this. I want to share this passage from Psalm 19:1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. That ought to settle it right there without having to, you know, be overly concerned about what exactly was the star. What we know is God was displaying his works and announcing his works through the heavenlies. Now, when King Herod hears about this, you know, remember that the wise men come to him and they say, this new king that is born, this baby king that is born. And all of a sudden, he's feeling a little bit threatened in his kingship. And so King Herod is deeply disturbed, it says. And in verses 3 through 6, it says, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said. For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. So again, Herod consults with the priests and the teachers of the law, and they say to him, the Messiah is going to be born, or is to be born in Bethlehem. And they're quoting, actually, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 that says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. So when Herod had called for this private meeting and with the wise men, we continue on in verse 7. Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too. So the wise men followed the star to the place where the child was, And so they went and found the child in Bethlehem. And so, again, Herod wanted to find out where this child was. He made like he was going to go worship them, but again, he was feeling threatened. And it says in chapter 2, verse 9, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Then they go in to see him in verse 11. They entered the house and saw the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now there's some significance to the gifts that were given, again, without a lot of detail. First of all, gold speaks of kingship. They were declaring, by that gift of gold, they were declaring him as king. Frankincense, obviously, is an incense. Incense is offered up to deity. It declared Jesus deity. And also myrrh is understood as an embalming oil and speaks of death. And so in all of these gifts, we see who Jesus was being declared through these wise men and their gifts. He was king, he was God, and he was going to die. He was going to die for the sake of God's people. Then continuing in Matthew chapter 2, verses 12, it says, When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt and with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. So again, we see Herod has all the boys around Bethlehem that are 2 years of age and under killed. He was going to eliminate the threat to him as king. And again, it says it was based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. So there, in fact, was an indication of how long they had been traveling. When they saw his star, it was 2 years by Herod eliminating everyone that was 2 years and under. It was 2 years before they came to the child. So again, when they came in to see the child, it wasn't at the quote-unquote nativity scene, although we see the three wise men right there with the shepherds, right? It wasn't at the nativity scene. This was actually a couple of years later when they had come to see him in this household and declare him as king by their gifts. Just a few things that I want to share with you in conclusion regarding these first responders. First of all, we saw the shepherds. They were working. They were working. The shepherds were doing their jobs, experiencing dramatic revelation of God. They go and see all these things that the angel had declared to them. And then they go back to work. And I already made this association with the fact that they were normal people, just regular normal people that received a tremendous revelation from God. But it didn't absolutely upset and change their lifestyle. They continued working, as it were. And so, you know, when we consider, remember that there is going to be version 2.0, there is a second advent of Jesus coming. And when God is revealing things and bringing revelation in these ends of times, we, you know, people don't just change up and go off to live on a mountain or throw everything that you're doing away. Keep doing business until he comes. Unless there is something that he says, now I want you to do something different. I mean, we have to be led by the Spirit in all these things. But people are sometimes, when they receive precious revelation of God, they're just, okay, now we're off to something else. We just keep about doing our business. So that's what these shepherds did. They were working. There were also those who were watching, as we saw that the prophets were those who were watching, who knew the Word of God, were able to perceive, be led by the Spirit, so that they could receive this understanding that he is here now. And Simeon was able to declare and prophesy over him. They were people who were watching. They knew that the Messiah was coming. And then finally, the wise. The wise men were those who knew the signs of the times. They were able to follow after that sign and follow the one who they knew to be the king, the true king, the king of Israel, this child king. Now again, when we're talking about these ends of times that we are coming into, Advent 2.0, there's times where we are going to be possibly, there will be the enemy coming to try and deceive you. And as the scripture says, false Christs will arise. We need to be able to perceive, no, this is not the Christ. This is the Christ. We need to not follow after those false things. We need to be wise. We need to understand the signs of the times as God is revealing himself to mankind. We go back to version 1.0, where God sent his Son to be the Savior for our sin. Version 2.0 is when Jesus comes as that warrior king, when Jesus comes to take us all, gather up together his saints together with him, when Jesus comes to rule this world. We understand that's to come, but we need to be perceptive. We need to keep working, we need to keep watching, and we need to continue to be wise. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these scriptures that give us revelation concerning your work among us. And we know that that work is to continue. And we know that there is something very, very special that is yet to come. May we be like these, Lord, who were able to receive the revelation of your work, able to perceive the work of the Spirit of God, and able to be wise to follow after that which was right and not after some false sign or some false god. Lord, we realize that in the world, in the society we live in, people are feeling more and more threatened by the person of Jesus Christ and Christianity. And they want to put it aside. It's like Herod wanting to kill this child. And so they are ruling Christianity out of everything that is public. And Father, we understand what's going on, and we need to be perceptive to the direction of the Holy Spirit, just like the wise men were directed by the Spirit not to return to Herod, just as Joseph was directed by the Spirit to take this child and go to Egypt. We need to be perceptive of the Spirit, by the Spirit, to know how to respond in the days and the times that we live in. But Lord, just as those anticipated and expected this coming of Messiah, may we also be numbered among those, Lord, who are working, who are wise, and Lord, who are watching, waiting for that child, or not for the child to come, but for Jesus to come again. We thank you so much, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.